There's a story that many of you have heard before in the Bible and the Gospels, and Jesus told the disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Say the other side. I love it when Jesus begins to talk, he knows where he's going. We don't always know the completion of the journey. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race set before us. So when we begin this race of our walk with Jesus and destiny and life and career, we don't always see the end from the beginning. But the Bible says that God sees clearly the end just as he does the beginning. Challenge everything I say with the word of God because it's not my words, but God's word that makes a difference. Matthew 13, Isaiah 50, 5 and 10 and 11. And so as we begin to see, we don't always understand it. We're walking this out. It's like a navigational system, but doesn't tell you everything. It just tells you the next turn. Jesus told the disciples, follow me and I'll make you. John chapter 1. And to those who received him, to them he gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. So what happens is we're walking this relationship out, being led by the Spirit, being led by the Word of God. There's some growing happening on the inside of us. As a result, that maturity, that growth is going to allow us, empower us to be what God wants us to be, have what God wants us to have, and do what God wants us to do, and reach those that God wants us to reach. Not just in our own effort, and there's something you have to do. James says, faith without works is dead. But with the effort of God, the power and grace of God to do it, where other people look and say, how are you doing that? I knew you before. How are you handling that? And where before you might be overwhelmed or intimidated or run away, now you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. I call you strong in the Lord. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. The Bible didn't say feel strong. It said be strong. And like David, who his brothers had overlooked, his own father Jesse overlooked, all of a sudden when Goliath was making a noise, David was able to step up. I feel the anointing of God to speak over your life right now and the near future. God has been working on you, empowering you for you to step up. You're getting ready to, some of you are getting ready to have your step up opportunity in the name of Jesus, where maybe you've been overlooked, pushed back, or just ignored in the past. But when nobody else can figure it out, you, out of the confidence and strength of God, will step up into the calling, step up into the anointing, step up into position authority that God called you to be in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
And so we just walking this thing out. And we're growing. And we're learning. Say, I'm learning. If you're not perfect, don't worry. You're in a group of people and no one's perfect but Jesus. We're all learning. We're all growing. I said, we're all learning. We're all growing. I'm thankful for that. Never get to a place where you figure that you have already figured it all out. Because when you think you know it all, you only just show your ignorance. Because the more you know, the more you realize there's so much more to know. I mean, just even in the Bible, one verse, you can stay on one verse literally your whole life and still learn. Because the Bible, literally, it's got layers to it and depth. And then as you begin to dig deeper in the layers of one verse, you begin to see how it interconnects other verses. And now it's a wonderful life to spend to discover the Word of God. Not the begets, come on somebody, but the truth of the New Testament as you begin to find out who you are, who God is, and walk this thing out. And so if you're not at the place that God says you can be, don't worry. We're all in that same boat. But if you're in the lane moving toward destiny and the destination of God, I'm telling you, you can have success without the stress. The joy is also not in reaching the pinnacle of the completion. The joy is in the journey. Let me say that again. The joy is just not at finish crossing the line. The joy is also in the journey. You can enjoy your walk with God. You can enjoy this whole process. And even though things might not be perfect yet or completed or the fulfillment of what you're believing for, I'm telling you, you can have joy on the journey. Amen? Say, I'm having joy on my journey with God. And so as we walk this out, God said to the disciples, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Anytime God asks you to do something, there's always a connection. He knows the direction. He knows the end result. Like we've did a whole series on that story about him telling Peter, launch out and we're going to catch a lot of fish or drought. He didn't say launch out and let's try to fish. Launch out and let's hope we catch something this time. Launch out and I'll pray and we'll just believe that one more at least you come out with. No, he said launch out and here's the end result. Launch out, obey me and I know where I'm taking you. Obey, follow my instruction, and I know the end result. You might not always know the end result, and that's why we got to trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all our heart, and lean not just on our understanding how we see it, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, because he knows the goal. He knows the end result. He knows where he's taking you. He knows the plan he has for you, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Bible says he knows the plans he has for you. Hallelujah. And they're good plans, the Bible says, not evil, to build you up, to promote you, to move you forward, not knock you back. They're good plans. He's a good God. Amen. And so back to our story. So we see where Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And Jesus decided it's time for a nap. And we have some fishermen on the boat. They can handle this. I got some disciples on the boat. They can handle this. And somewhere in the journey, they couldn't handle it. Because they went from all of a sudden where they were dealing in the boat, and they had a unusual, if you look at the Greek, it said an unexpected quick storm. Have you ever had storms hit you and you didn't see them coming? I mean, not one that was slowly moving in, and you saw, you can look in the natural and say, oh, wow, there's a problem coming. But I mean, when you just, you had that sense of, ooh, today's a great day. You didn't realize there was a storm around the corner. And if you notice the process that the disciples did, by the time they woke Jesus up, they were in the place of saying, Master, don't you even care that we die? So they literally went from, because you know, it all of a sudden it showed up and some Peter said, oh, I can handle this. Oh, those waves are getting tall. Those waves are getting really tall. Now they're in the boat. Now we're about to sink. Now we're about to die. I mean, there is levels of panic. They went from being a little nervous, unrest, to fearful, to panic, hopeless, we're going to die. I mean, they didn't say, we don't want to die. They went to the worst place, went from not only hopeless, you say, what could be worse than hopeless? They begin hopeless and angry at God. Don't you care that we're going to die? They didn't say, wake up and save us. Wake up and do something about this. They said, we're dying and you don't care. Read your Bible. I mean, in the phases of the enemy's attacks against us, we'll have a similar thing. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible tells us to take the shield of faith and quench the fiery darts, to not only block them, but to quench them. Because in the dark, there's fire. Fire tries to consume. And it starts just a little bit. If you notice, a little fire can keep spreading and gets bigger and bigger. I was in a restaurant years ago, had a meeting, and we were at, I think it was called, and this is probably 25 years ago, I think it was called Squadron 54 or something. It was 80-something, 84th Squadron. Something like that. It's not there. And it was all based on like a military old kind of thing. And some of you have been there. And I'm sitting there at lunch having a business meeting. And I watched in the next room how the waitress was getting ready to light a candle in a centerpiece. And this centerpiece had a lot of straw in it. And she lit it. And when she did it, a little spark hit the straw. And it started catching on fire. And I'm watching the whole thing sitting there going, it's one of those, is this really happening? Have you ever been in a moment when you started questioning the reality? Am I dreaming? Is this really happening right now? And she lit it, and when it sparked it, and it started catching a little on fire, and then got a little bigger, and she froze. She stood there and went, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my. And finally, another waitress got a pitcher of water, came over, and dumped it on there to put it out. Someone acted. But by the time she had acted, something had hit the ceiling. And the ceiling hit a lot of straw. And I watched as I'm sitting here in the next room over. I had a clear view. I'll never forget this because these type of things you tend not to forget. And being in a restaurant and watching it burn down. And so the spark, as she got it out and smoke, you know what I mean? You put out the fire, smoke's everywhere. And all of a sudden, you saw the cloud. It was like just a ring of smoke on the ceiling. It hit and it went. Something said, it's time to leave. You know what I mean? I was hungry, but it was time to leave. And we walked out of there, and the sirens going off, it burned the place down, actually. So, yeah, I was one of the last meals, last suppers. I saw the whole thing happen. You know what I mean? The enemy will try to do that. A little spark, and he'll burn you like, ouch! But then he starts working on you in your imagination, in your dreams, in your thought process, in your expectation and your words. And you can go from being a little nervous about something to being concerned, to being afraid it's going to happen, to move in panic. You just know what's going to happen. Have you ever been where you worried about something and it didn't happen, but it kept you up for nights? The down payment of something that hasn't even happened. And all of a sudden, you can get into fear about it, and then panic and hopeless, and then that far last level, anger God. God, why are you doing this? You did this to me. I'm angry at God. And the disciples waited till they got all the way over here before they cried out to Jesus. Now, we could look on the bright side. If you're an optimist that likes to see the glass half full instead of half empty, let's look at the bright side for a second. And on the bright side, at least they cried out to Jesus, right? At least they didn't sink the boat and that's the end of it. Because Jesus could walk on the water. Those other 12 jokers probably would have drowned right there without Jesus. Amen? But at least they cried out to him. Sooner would have been better, but at least they cried out to him. If you're in a situation that you're in the far extreme of hopelessness and starting to get angry at God, I encourage you to cry out to Jesus. Sooner is better. Now, it would have been better. Say with me, sooner. Come on, say sooner is always better. So it would have been better if when the boat started rocking a little bit and they saw that storm, they say, hey, Lord, Jesus, wake up, wake up. They waited. They tried to handle it. And a lot of times we get into the later because we're trying to do it all on our own. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I think I can handle it. I can't handle this. We give Jesus the last option and not the first option. Say with me, sooner is always better. And so what happens is if we're not careful, we wait to the last end before we cry out to Jesus instead of waiting at the early stages. John Osteen did a message, Joel Osteen's father who's now in heaven, a message I remember years ago, and he talked about don't wait till your barrel's empty before you cry out to God. Begin to cry out to God when it just drops a little bit. Say sooner is always better. And so they finally cried out to Jesus, and if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and throw this on the screen, this verse, unless they need me to give you the reference. And here we go. And he arose and did what? He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea or the water, peace, be still. Well, wait a minute. Let's stop reading for a second. You're telling me when they woke him up, he arose or sat up and he spoke to something that had no ears. Don't read the Bible as a fairy tale story. You read it as the newspaper. Let's bring it to modern terms. You're out of town. You're trying to make your way home with your family and some friends. And you're on the highway. And on the highway, an unexpected storm blows up. And have you ever been in where you're driving on the highway and it starts raining so hard? You got those wipers and you make sure that you're on a full and the and even that doesn't allow you to see. I mean, everything's getting, you know what I mean? It's hard to see the taillights of the car in front of you. You can't see the lanes too well. Has anybody ever been in one of those storms? It is bad. People are pulling off to the side. I mean, it's coming down hard. Let's add a little fun to it since it's our imagination. It's coming down so hard. You can't see the car in front of you and a cow passes you by because a tornado's nearby. Houses are flying around all over you. Come on, somebody. You like those movies where that happens and you wonder if that wind can blow the cow. What's keeping that car on the road? But that's another. Right? And so, I mean, things are flying. It looks impossible. You're getting nervous. You're getting upset. Kids are freaking out. And all of a sudden, the person in the car rolls down the window and says, that's enough. The rain stops, and the wind stops. Come on now. Jesus began to talk to what we would think would be crazy to talk to wind and water. And he brought peace to the situation because he was willing to rise up and to rebuke the wind and speak peace to the water. Now, just out of curiosity, if you're a student of the Word and you'd like to dig deeper, why don't you take this week, write this verse down, and you look at Psalms 88, verse 8 and 9. You'll find that there's an Old Testament passage, actually two of them. This is one of two where it talks about God's power to even calm the water. It was within the ability of God, according to the Word of God, to speak peace to the storm. So what Jesus was doing was what was in the nature of the Father was within the capacity of the Son. Let me say that again. What's in the nature of the Father is within the capacity of the Son. What's in the nature of the Father is in the capacity of the Son. Did you hear me? So if the Father can do it, the Son can do it. You say, well, he was the Son of God. Jesus said, listen, the works that I do, it's the work of the Father. The Father was doing it. He did it under not his deity, but out of his humanity. He had to operate under the fulfillment of the law. Jesus didn't come under the New Testament. He established at the resurrection the New Testament. During his lifespan, even though in our Bible it says his life, it is written out under what we call the New Testament. The New Testament didn't begin until the birth of the church. So Jesus said, he had already said at one place, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So he operated under the parameters of the Old Testament under humanity's guidelines. Because if he did it under divinity, then he would not be able to tell the disciples, the works that I do, you can do also. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus rose up, he spoke and rebuked the wind and spoke peace to the storm. Why? Because it was within the capacity and the nature of the Father. Therefore, as a Son, he had access, and it was his capacity to take authority, because he had already said, we're going to the other side. See, I'm going to the other side. Now, when we're going to the other side in the rhythm of life, we'll deal with storms. The question is, how do we bring peace to the storms that we face? How do we bring peace to the storms we face? Because the truth is, if it's in the nature of the Father, if you're a child of God, it's within your capacity as a son and daughter of God. If it's in the nature of your Heavenly Father, it's in the capacity of you. The devil doesn't want you to know that. The devil wants to keep you ignorant of it, because the Bible says that we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But if it's in the capacity of the Father, the nature of the Father, it's in the capacity of his children. That's why the promises of God are yea and amen, the King James, which means approved and so be it. They're already done. Now we have to learn to access what rightfully belongs to us. It might be a narrow road, and not everybody finds it, but there's a road for you to find. It's the mysteries of the kingdom that are pursued. For the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. And too many Christians are kumbaya. Whatever will be. And if it's God's will, it'll happen. And I'm telling you, that is the thinking of the enemy, to rob you, to steal from you. John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Let me prove it to you. The Bible says it's the will of the Father that none should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If that's the will of the Father, why are people going to hell? Because God created you within his image, giving you this thing called a will. Nobody else has a will. They violate the will of God, they are permanently judged. Angels so, but we have a will. And so God needs you on this side of eternity with the authority he's given you. He will not override your will. He needs you to partner with his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God is, whatever's in the nature of the Father is within the capacity of his children, his sons and daughters, when we rise up and grow in this. Now, you don't start off that way. You start off as a baby Christian. And just like any natural baby, you are dependent on a lot of stuff. And you're growing in this. But when you grow in the things of God, you become more dependent on him. But that exercises authority and power in your world. Can I get an amen? You're not, because the Bible says, thanks be to God. Now thanks be to God who always, always, always causes you to triumph. Amen? You are not called to be a victim, but a victor in your life. You're called to be a candle that brings a change into your world and benefits other people. You're called to be a city on a hill that cannot be denied. You're not called to say, whatever will be, you're called to say, this doesn't line up with the Father's plan. This does not line up with the Father. How could Jesus rebuke the wind? Because it was trying to be an obstacle to the will of the Father. He knew the assignment was to go to the other side. And anything that was in conflict with that was in conflict. It was created by, it had no right to be in conflict. It had to line up with the order of God. That doesn't mean you can override other people's will, because your authority is over what God's given you authority over. But Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And he could rise up and begin to say, nope, be peace. See, when you grow in the things of God, as we all grow in the things of God, we begin to see that we're not victims, but God has given us authority. That what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. It's a key of the kingdom. It's a mystery of the kingdom of God. That you have a right to what you permit will be permitted, and what you do not permit will not be permitted. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. But the problem, as you begin to look at this, notice, and the wind ceased, and there's a great calm. And the Bible goes on to say that they looked at Jesus a little differently that day. I would look at Jesus a little differently that day too. And they said, what manner of person is this that even the winds and the water, even all the things created by the Creator must obey the command. All things created by the Creator must obey the command of the Creator. Jesus said, the words I speak are not my words, it's the words of the Father. Did you hear me? Well, what about this person? They don't obey the will of God, but because they have a will, and it's their choice on their destination. Did you hear me? But the other elements have no choice. They don't have a will. And so they must come unto the alignment of the will of the Creator, who's your Heavenly Father. And when you connected to Him, don't get quiet on me, when you get connected to Him and you speak what He is saying, you are exercising His authority in your world. Can I get an amen? You can bring and call the order of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're there today and it's not, oh, I wish it'll happen, and it happens. You've got to grow in the things of God. We're on the journey. Amen? But if you notice in that context that they not only were surprised at Jesus rebuked basically two things. He rebuked the wind that was causing the storm. And just on a side note, if you pray for people that need prayer, rebuke the authority of the enemy attacking them. And then speak what needs to be replaced in them. You rebuke the sickness and speak healing into that area. But Jesus looked at him and basically rebuked them. Why would he rebuke them? It wasn't just because they woke him up from his nap. Read it out. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. It might sound different than what you've been taught in other circles. That's fine. But it's not my words. It's not a doctrine. You study the word of God for yourself. Amen? And Jesus rebuked them. Why? Because they had the capacity to handle this on their own. They didn't handle it, and they were growing in their ability to handle it. But in that moment, they already had the ability to handle it. Why? Because they were still carrying the truth of the Word of God with them. Jesus, John 1:1, is the Word. And the Word, verse 14, became flesh. So they had the Word. When you got the Word on your side, you have the ability. When you got the Word on your side, you have the ability. Don't worry about feelings and emotions. The Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong. Not I feel strong. I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Power of His. Why? Because when you got the word, say, I got the word on my side. That's why the Bible says, let the word of Christ, that means the anointed word, let the anointed word dwell in you richly. Not just a little bit, not just, but richly, richly, richly. We want a quality, just not a quantity of life. You know what I mean by richly? That's taking the characteristic of a cake. Have you ever been into a cake and say, man, that's dry? But you get a real expensive cake, loaded with calories, hallelujah. None of that whipped cream frosting, that butter-rich frosting, right? I mean, well, you have to have a gallon of milk nearby, just not a little glass of... You take one bite, you work, woo, that's rich. It's full of flavor. It's full of taste. I mean, God wants your life. He wants you to have stuff. He wants you to have quantity. Don't get caught up in quantity. He just doesn't want quantity to have you. But no matter what level you're at with quantity, more importantly, He wants you to have quality. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ richly, let it dwell in you richly. That means more than necessary. Hallelujah. More than's needed. He is your El Shaddai, is he not? And notice that Jesus dealt with them. Why? Because they had a capacity. I'm already out of time, and I haven't got to my point yet. And here was the problem. They didn't have peace on the inside. They didn't have peace on the inside. They can rebuke the wind with authority, but if they didn't have peace to instill peace, the storm could return. Jesus said that when a strong man is rebuked and cast out, he roams around and comes back. And if he finds where he was empty, he can come back with seven stronger. So the challenge is not getting people free. The challenge is teaching them how to stay full. Well, Jesus. I can't sing, so don't try to get me to sing. So how do we get to a place that when we face the storms on the outside that tries to create unrest, we don't allow the storm on the outside to get on the inside? Because when you allow the storm to get on the outside, that's on the outside to get on the inside, you are no longer a contributor to the solution, but a contributor, amplifier to the problem. We're just going to have to make third service break. Do you remember? I got to get this to you. All right. Do you remember back in the day? Some of you remember this. Do you remember back in the day, churches, and don't matter what denomination church, I think they all did this. I don't know if it was in the rule book somewhere of churches. Sunday, and then you had to have a Wednesday night. Hang on. Service, and I'm not against Wednesday. But also we had a potluck dinner. Do you all remember the potluck meals before? Do you remember those? And so people come off work and they bring their kids and they'd have dinner at church and everybody would bring a pot and they put it together and everybody would eat. And that was a great idea to somebody awaken to the reality of not everybody washes their hands like they should. And so there's some hygiene things. And dear Jesus, I mean, in those days when you prayed for your food, you better have faith. Come on, somebody. You don't know what is in that. And you know that's true because some of you have been there and you would watch certain people come through the doors of the pot and you would say, I know a little bit enough about that person. I don't want to make sure I don't. And sure enough, they'd walk up to you while you're eating because you didn't. Oh, have you tried what I brought? It's so good. Come on. Okay. So everybody would bring a pot. Can you imagine if everybody brought a pot to a potluck dinner but nothing was in anybody's pot? Because if you come to a potluck dinner with a pot, you better be having something in the pot. If you come to a situation, to a problem, it's just not looking good or having something that can carry. God wants you to be a carrier of him. You need to bring something. I'm trying. You got to bring something to the table. You got to bring something to the table. It's human nature for us to identify what's missing. Why didn't anybody bring any food? You can look at, why isn't anybody loving anybody anymore? Why is everybody, they just got so much hate. They need to, I'll tell you, you can tell what's wrong, but it's not identifying what's wrong that's the key. It's bringing the solution to the table. Don't tell me people got to stop hating if you're not bringing love to the table. Don't tell me people just need to relax if you can't bring peace and rest to the table. And I'm telling you today, what I'm trying to close up, and I haven't got to my point, is that there, Hebrews 4, there is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest. Say, there's a rest. Okay, let me give you two verses already. Write these down. Look at them later because of time. Isaiah 54:13. It says, and your children shall be taught of the Lord and great. Shout great. Great. Come on, shout great. Great. Not minimum. We're talking about great. Shout great. Great. Great shall be the peace of your children. Mm. The Amplified translates, Classic Amplified says it this way, and great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure for your children. It's in the Bible that when you send your kids out of your place, out of your house, out of your car, that you can speak over them, that this day they will not be afraid, they will not be intimidated. Great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure. David said, 1,000 to fall on my side and 10,000 in my right hand, but it will not come near my dwelling. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because the peace of God, the peace of God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In returning and rest shall you be saved. Notice this, in quietness and in confidence. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. When you are in Hebrews 4, it talks about that rest tying it to faith. When you're in faith, there's a rest. There is a quietness, a confidence. There's a rest to the people of God. And Hebrews 4 goes on to say, I believe it's verse 11, strive to enter in that rest. How do I enter in that rest? How do I get my pot full so that I can have rest, but I can also share that rest with other people? Okay, they're going to wait a little longer. All right. John chapter 10. We'll throw this on the screen. They're turning there. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, right? We've heard that. We've heard that. But don't stop reading that. Notice, read that to me. What's the next part? And, come on. And shall what? Shall do what? Go in. Shall go in, right? Shall go in. But wait, it didn't stop there. Whoa, wait a minute. It's just not talking about you getting saved. I'm the door, and you can go in and out. In and out. What is he talking about? Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me. Throw that verse up. Come unto me. Notice all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Come in and out. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. That verse just said, come in and out and find. Let's go to the verse before that. In and out and find what? In and out and find what? Come rest a little bit so you can eat a little bit. You got to rest. So you can eat. As you begin to come in and out the truth of God's word, I'm telling you, when you feel things overwhelming you, when you feel things escalating, you can wait till the midnight hour. Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need a financial miracle. Okay, they're talking about evicting me. When? They're doing it right now. Midnight hour, last minute. Or you can begin sooner. Stay with me. Sooner is much better. Then later, so when you begin to feel a little bit of the punch or a little bit of the flame, your faith is there, but you don't have to, oh man, this thing's starting to bother me, keep me up at night. Don't wait till it gets blown out and burning the house down before you look for a fire extinguisher. No, get the faith going. Raise the faith. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing. What are you doing? Get in and out. Get in the word of God, the presence of God. Get in his presence. What? And as you do it, you'll become strong. Joshua 1, verse 6 and 8. You'll get peace on the inside. And then you can deal with the storm because you have authority, but you also have the answer on the inside of you. It gives you confidence. Quietness and rest is your strength. What should I do? I'm telling you what to do. Get in his word. How long until you see it change? And you know what? If it needs the next day, you do it again. If you need the next day, it's not a one time in and out. How long does it take? It depends. What does it depend on? It's like getting out of a hole. How long does it take you to get out of a hole? It depends. How deep's the hole? If it's 6 inches, not much time. If it's 60 feet, takes you a little longer. But if you keep with it, listen to me, folks. This is not a game. This is not religion. This is not control. I'm giving, if you stick with it. I mean, we'll throw it, for those of you who are like athletes and physically fit, you tell people, start working out. You get in shape. And some of us, we started working out. We're like, this is taking too long. But if we stick with it, The only thing that hurts is these infomercials that tell us that we can have it all in 21 days. I've done that, yummy, for 18 days. I'm walking around. I can't even move. It's crazy. If you stick with it, though, stick with it. It works. If you stick with the word, if you keep going in and coming out, going in and coming out, going in, it might not be overnight, but over the process of time, that word's going to begin, Joshua, it's going to begin to strengthen you, give you peace. And all of a sudden, your attitude changes. Your confidence changes. I can look in the eyes of people going through, Pastor, I'm believing God will heal me. And some are. Some aren't. They're in fear, hoping for a lifesaver for God. But they don't realize you need faith, Hebrews 6, to receive the inheritance of God. You need faith, and you got to get to the place of faith, and you know you're in faith when you step into a rest on the inside. And when you are at a rest on the inside, your faith is there to handle it. Your faith is there to handle it. When you feel like your faith is starting to get shaky, go back in. The door's always open for you. You're a child of God. Go back in. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come to my word. Get in my presence. Oh, I'm feeling good on Sunday when I leave church. Yeah, but what about Thursday after a few days and you've not been? You come back in. Come back in. Get the word. Why? What are you doing? Come on. You don't look at me that way. You do it when you eat. I'm hungry again. My wife said, you just ate an hour ago. I'm hungry anyway. When I get hungry, I want to eat. When you get spiritually hungry, you need to eat. And you need to eat when you're starting to feel the enemy coming at you. Oh, no, I need a little more buffer room. I'm telling you, you get a place that's so much buffer, he can't even get near you. He did Jesus. He could not take Jesus' life. He laid it down. Jesus said, no man takes my life. In fact, the Bible says that the enemy could not touch him. That's what the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. There's a place you can get it. So where you not only have peace, there's just like a circle surrounding you of peace. People come in. I don't know why. When I come into your office or talk to you, I feel so much different. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're in and out. You're going in the word and come back out and do life. Going back in. Amen. We're out of time. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. Great peace and undisturbed composure over you, your family, and your children in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says.